Welcome, everyone. The Christian Marauder here today, and I'm so glad you all are stopping by for today's show. As people are joining in and joining up right now, let me take the time and give you my contact info. Because a lot of people have asked me, how can they contact me? So I made a new Gmail account, so you can contact me with this Gmail address. It's MarauderMel, all one word, MarauderMel@gmail.com. Just go ahead, send me a question, drop me a line, tell me how you like the show. Just feel free to, folks. I always like the feedback of people who listen. Because, man, I tell you, your feedback is valuable to me. Amen. It always is. Okay. While folks are joining in online here, let me just take a little time and remind you, don't forget to become a member of the Daily Renegade so you can see the full unedited shows here and all the great content, participate on the forum, look at, you know, everything that you can, because all the articles on here, this is a fantastic website, folks, a web portal, because Josh Peck is busy here to try to get around the social media axe that's coming down the pike. The social media axe is alive and well. It's alive and kicking still. You never know when they're going to not like something out of, for no reason at all. Just because you're a Christian and a conservative, they just have this tendency just to say, give them the axe if they don't like it, folks. I tell you. So just help Josh Peck set up a Christian platform that the social media can't axe. That way we'll have a social media platform at the Daily Renegade where you can still get messages and the things you want to hear and join in and read articles before it's too late, folks. I tell you. We need to set up Christian media in our own platforms to get around these kind of biases that are out there. I tell you, it is real. So I ask you to consider and actually become a member for $10 a month and for $100 a year to become part of the Daily Renegade and help Josh Peck set up this social media platform. Well, we are going to have a great show tonight, folks. So you got to strap on your seatbelts and grab your coffee because we are just going to jump right in. And before we do, let me say I'm going to take care of one thing that came up to me that my wife mentioned to me. And so I always take her, what she has to say, is very valuable to me. And so I just want to say, I've been talking about some heavy-duty, high-order witchcraft. Again, don't be afraid of it. As a Christian, you don't need to fear this stuff. You have more authority and more power over it. Also, this does not mean there is a witch behind every tree and a demon behind every bush ready to pounce on you either. I'm not trying to make you all a bunch of paranoid you-know-whats. I'm just stating how to identify where we are in the beginning stages of the end times in a way and present it in a way that the church seems to have forgotten about. So again, we have authority over the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and the host of wickedness in the heavenly places. We have authority and power over the demonic forces. You don't need to worry about it, but you also need to know how to fight. So yes, witchcraft is very real, folks, because you know, for instance, I mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 3, there's a reason why God himself addresses Ezekiel 13, addresses witchcraft. You know why? Because these people were not worshiping imaginary friends. Do you get it? They weren't. This was actual witchcraft, and God gives his own word what he thinks about it. And the reason, you know, what it does, it's all revealed in the Bible. And these are the old fallen angels and the demonic hosts that are just infiltrating the churches and with doctrines of demons. It says in the last days, there will be doctrines of demons. How are you going to identify these? You know, they come by the witchcraft and the sorcery. There's high order witchcraft. I shared last week on that, folks. So you don't need to panic and think there's a demon behind every bush and a witch behind every corner. I'm just saying they know what they are doing, and the church does not. In fact, the church doesn't even know how to battle this stuff, and yet they are being attacked with it. So I'm trying to give you the equipment how and for intercessors to gather together and fight this stuff. Maybe you can too, because some of you need the veils ripped off of your mind and heart that these things and these people do. They get in covens and they'll curse, or send these deific mass, these demonic forces into groups of churches. They'll pick them out and they'll send them. They'll conjure them, folks. I'm telling you, high order witchcraft knows what they're doing, and the church, by and large, is stupid about it. There's a few good folks out there, but who know how to deal with it. I'm teaching you how to deal with it in a rational way. Use your authority and the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus, and by faith, use those tools and those weapons that you have for spiritual warfare, so you can rip off the veils and not be blinded by the evil one, so you can see the danger coming and bring many into the kingdom of God in the process. So that's why I just would take a little bit of time just to talk about that before we jump into the show tonight, because this show is, I'm praying that this will be the last of the series on the old gods. Then we'll pick it up another time, because I want to start that afterlife series, the Confessions of the Afterlife. I already did one show on it, recorded it, and hope to have that out as well soon. So, folks, I tell you, we are going to get hot and heavy again tonight. I tell you, we have a show tonight, and like I said earlier, you have your cup of coffee ready, you got everything set, let's jump right on in. So let me give you a brief wrap-up of why I did the Old God series, then get into where I was in this brief review here. I began this Old God series, and I built very slowly. I built very methodically, showing in the first parts how the fallen watchers influenced the world and the church in the last days. So you know the times upon which you live. I tried to show you how they counterattacked the church by using the seven churches of the book of Revelation, because judgment always begins in the house of God first. And you have exact examples of how the church is being attacked in the last days that act as fingerprints, so you know if you're approaching those days or not. You know, so, and then again, I tried to show you all throughout the series that the devil plays a wicked game. He don't play fair, folks. And we learned through this series how to identify some of these entities through their personality traits, because they go by many names. If you match the personality trait, you find out who's who amongst the false gods. And I also, during this series, showed you their goals for the end time church and their effects on the end time church and how to identify them. Last week, we looked at the fingerprints that expose how close we are to the last days in a way that few people even know about these days. The stuff used to be known when I was getting my feet wet in Christianity way long time ago. Well, we found that these fingerprints consist of the passing of great men and women of God, and no one is really filling their shoes or filling their places. And that seems to be a consistent pattern here. We also saw that sound teaching is becoming more rare and harder to find. That's another fingerprint we looked at this last message, folks. I tell you, when you see the men and women of God passing away and sound teaching and doctrine getting harder and harder to find, that is a fingerprint of the last days. That's what happened in just prior to the flood of Noah. That's what the book of Jasher, that's why I took the time to read all those scriptures in contents last show. Hope I didn't bore you, but that's why I did. I want to give you some information, and we're going to wrap all this up tonight. We found these fingerprints will identify if we are really approaching the last days. Another fingerprint we looked at is the rise of high order witchcraft, sorcery, and the dark arts among world leaders. That's on a worldwide scale, just not a nation or country, but worldwide. Remember, Book of Revelation is worldwide. And we see, folks, how they all walk lockstep together to push forth a one-world government in order to raise up a one world leader. In other words, they are pushing worldly dominionism with them on the top of the food chain. We talked a little bit about that, and are doing it by witchcraft and sorcery and divination in order to silence the free expression of speech, to silence what I call the grace of God. See, the grace of God allows you to have free thought because God wants us to reason together. But these people don't want reason. They want to silence reason. They want to just silence it so their way can't be questioned. If everybody fits in a jello mold, thinks the same things, thinks the same thoughts, then everybody can live in a utopia and go, you know what I'm talking about? I tell you, this is all influenced by the fallen watchers, a principality like Ishtar, who I call Big Jezebel, who seeks to control it all. We learned how these type of elites and different types of people all over the world begin to use divination in order to escape justice, and how they conjure this stuff against the church and any who oppose them. I shared that last week. And how most of the modern church world just dismisses this as a bunch of bunk. But if you wake up, take a good whiff of the coffee brewing, and you'll say, wow, how else are you going to explain why they get away with the stuff they get away with? And you try to do what they did, wow. And when they do get caught, they get exposed, because you can pray like it says in Isaiah 57 and Ezekiel 13 verses 18 through 23 there, that the Lord will expose the works of darkness. So tonight we're going to look at how all this fits together so you can know if we are really in the days of Noah or not. That's what I'm trying to show you, folks. So tonight's show is entitled Breaking the Witch's Broom. Breaking the Witch's Broom. You might as well break the witch's broom in episode 9 here. So what we are going to do, we are going to look at what we can do about breaking the witch's broom. And next we're going to look at how to battle this stuff they toss at us, and end the show by sharing with you how to overcome. So let's get back to Isaiah 57 and verse 14. And it shall be said, build up, prepare the way, remove every obstruction from my people's way. That's a call that God's giving out, especially for the last days here. And 1 Peter chapter 3, 20 and 22 tells us that due to the resurrection of Jesus, basically he is our ark of safety. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 1 and 3, he went to prepare a place for us in heaven. You get the picture. In the meantime, on earth, Jesus is building up a body of believers, as 1 Peter 2:5 tells us, that we are his living stones being built up as a spiritual house on earth. Jesus is all about building up places of safety on earth called the church. Unfortunately, these days, most of the church is kind of not getting it on that area. So that is another fingerprint to look for, is the entry into the last days of a remnant being built up, folks. I kind of mentioned that on one of the shows, talking about the Church of Philadelphia, the Band of Brother Love. Do you remember that? Listen to verse 14 again. And it will be said, build up, prepare the way, remove every obstruction from the people's way. Folks, as it was in the days of Noah, Noah built an ark. Guess what? In the New Testament today, Jesus is working on the ark too, because he is the ark. So look at Genesis chapter 6, verses 14 and 16. And it says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, and make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. There's nothing in the Bible without a purpose and a reason. We need to learn. This stuff used to be taught all over the place, folks, but we seem to have forgotten how to actually read the scriptures anymore. So listen to what it says. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. Folks, the cross was made of wood. Jesus paid the price for us to enter into the ark of Christ. He also requires us to live and do the great commission, to go into all the world and make disciples out of all the nations, all races, all kindreds, all tongue, and bring them into the ark of safety. Listen, folks, God wants us to go for some wood. And I got to tell you, folks, I'm speaking of myself before I was saved. I was dumb as a plank. I mean, there are a lot of dumb planks out there, right? A planks of wood. And then you get illuminated by Christ and you become alive. And so the whole point is here to start gathering the wood, the dumb planks, so they will become smart for Jesus. Amen. God wants us to go for some wood. I think. Don't you think so? We are to bring them to Jesus, the ark, and we are to make rooms in the ark for them in our churches, folks. I'm telling you, God told Noah to cover the inside and outside of the ark with pitch, sealing those inside away from the dark storms that the devil is going to make hay with. Okay, folks, I'm telling you, in the new ark, the blood of Jesus is the sealing pitch needed to separate us from the world so we can come inside the ark of safety, learning how to walk by the Holy Spirit and less by the flesh that wars against the spirit. By the shed blood of Jesus, we overcome this war with the flesh. By the blood of Jesus, we become holy and washed and clean. By the shed blood of Jesus, we are sealed as his own. By the blood of Jesus, we overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. By the shed blood of Jesus upon the cross, which is the frame of the ark, we defeat the witchery and break the devil's broom in the last days, folks. That's another fingerprint that God is raising up a remnant of believers serious about him for his sake alone and not what they can get from him. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 15 continues, this is how you are to make it. He's telling Noah, this is how you are to make the ark. The length of the ark is 300 cubits, the breadth is 50 cubits, and its height is 30 cubits. I don't care about how many inches a cubit is. I'm looking at the numbers that were used in the text. There's nothing by accident in the Bible. Numbers do have meaning. I know some people don't like to hear that. This is not numerology or any Chaldean junk. Bible numbers have meanings. And I won't get into all the nuances of that right now. Maybe a future show I can talk about it. Just send me an email and let me know if you'd like to hear that. This is how to make it. 300 cubits, 50 cubits, 30 cubits. And nothing is done by accident in the Bible. These numbers correlate to letters associated in the Hebrew alphabet, and they tell a story. The length of the ark is 300 cubits. The 21st Hebrew letter is Shin. Its numeric value is 300. It has a pictograph. It's ancient language. It was a pictograph of a mouth and some teeth. It has a meaning, and the meaning is dependent upon the content that is found in a verse. In this case, it refers to God. And it has to deal with breath and spirit and what consumes one, or what one consumes. In other words, it can be a breath of anger, a breath of fresh air. It's the spirit. That's what the word means. It's basically the spirit that comes out of a person and what consumes a person or what a person consumes. Okay? 300 here is representing the spirit of God to consume you. Just listen, track with me. Its breath is 50 cubits. 50 is the letter Nun. Its pictograph is of a sprouting seed. 50 is associated with the year of Jubilee, when new life has time to come forth. It involves separation into the ways of holiness and for new growth. Just think about that. Its height is 30 cubits. The Hebrew letter Lamet is used as the number 30. Its pictograph is that of a shepherd's staff, and the idea of it is the shepherd's staff moves the heart to follow someone or something, whoever has your heart, okay? And Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. Psalms 23 speaks of the staff comforting. 30 also means a covenant sealed by the shedding of blood, sealing one to one who is stronger. The numbers tell a story how the Holy Spirit changes us and empowers us to be able to enter the year of the greatest jubilee. All brought about by the work of the Good Shepherd. There's a reason why God gave those numbers, because you can see the divine fingerprints of God all through the Bible if you just open your eyes up, folks. I tell you, the Good Shepherd, he's at work in us, and the Holy Spirit's at work in us, making us sanctified, cleaning us up inside so we can go out in the power of the Holy Spirit as preachers of righteousness, going forth into the world at the sound of the last call, and at the last call to bring people into the safety of the ark of Jesus. Do you get the picture? Look at Genesis 6:16. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side, and make it with lower and second and third decks. Do you understand? There's a lot of unpack here, folks. What this means, God himself wants you covered with a roof to protect you from all the stuff that's getting ready to happen. In the meantime, there is an open window up there for ventilation. Also, you can look up at the sky. It leaves an open window up to heaven, folks. Just give you an idea here of the imagery and what it means. The letter one, because there's one cubit, okay, another cubit added in here. One is the Hebrew letter Aleph, represents the number one. And the number one has a meaning. It means the strongest one, a leader, or God, as the ultimate strong one. In this case, the context, talking about God. So you have Christ is the door, the entryway into the ark of safety. He's the entryway to the way of the Lord, where the window of heaven is open, and we can pray and get to know the Lord. That is a key to know about in the last days, folks, how to break the devil's broom. Number two is the letter bet. It's shaped of a picture of a house, and it's pictograph form, and it denotes testing a household to see whose household one belongs to. The bottom line meaning is division. In other words, to see who belongs in a house and who doesn't. Who is of my house and who isn't. Jesus came to bring division into the world, to see who's in his house, who's in the ark and who's not. Okay? Number three is the Hebrew letter gimel. It's the shape of a foot in the pictograph form. And its idea expresses movement, travel. And it means also unity. Basically, it means expressing travel in life to be unified or united with someone or something. In other words, in this case, God's interested in you, what? Getting to know him on the first deck. So you become part of his house. So that as you move through life and travel to life, you become more united with God than you ever have before. Okay? So by knowing the Lord, one comes into the house by the ark of Jesus, divided out of the world, and thus, as Jesus mentioned in John 17:1, you become united and one with the Lord forever. Amen. Isn't that pretty good stuff, folks? All this used to be basic stuff that used to be taught in churches. But nowadays, now we have, I don't know what's being taught, fluff and stuff maybe. But this stuff is still taught in some places today. It's nothing new under the sun, folks. And see, Noah built the ark, and he prepared his heart and the heart of those in his household. That's what the Lord wants us to do. That's how to break the devil's broom. That's how to break the witch's broom, folks. Likewise, Isaiah 57 verse 14 says, and it will be said, build up, prepare the way, remove every obstruction from my people's way. That is a fingerprint in the last day. God is raising up a remnant of believers who hang tight with Jesus no matter what and bring other people into the ark. You know, amen to that, folks. Who help remove every obstruction from the people's way. We are called members of the household of God, folks. So I ask, is the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit of any value in you, or is it of no real importance? Who are you listening to? Is there anything about that being taught anymore? Is people teaching in what they believe God is telling them, denying the work of the Holy Spirit of sanctification in their life? Is it all about getting your gets from God and using God as a football to show off with? You know, I caught the glory tonight, and hey, I made a touchdown for the Gipper, you know, all that stuff. No, I tell you, folks, this is serious stuff. The sanctifying work, it's God's will is our sanctification. Why isn't it not really being taught? That is another fingerprint in the last days. Doctrines of demons creep in, and they push this out of the way and make people believe that doctrines of demons are of God. Okay? I won't go that direction. We already covered it. So are you blocking people like some of the folks were doing in Revelations chapter 2 and 3 in those churches, like in Ephesus? Have you become a nitpicker? A browbeater? Are you like Pergamos? You're inviting any and everything into the church, thinking it's of God. And you dare not question anyone. How dare you touch the Lord's anointed, okay? Yeah, you know, all that weird stuff that goes on in that church is just amazing, that type of people. Are you like Thyatira? You're seeking to control the world, okay? Listening to the prophetic spirits, lying all the time, and leading you astray. Are you that group? Are you Sardis, the dead church, emasculated, where the male protectiveness, where we're protecting the church, is totally done away with? Are you of that group? Are you a Laodicean type of person, folks? In the ark, I got to remind you, there is an open window to know the Lord God Almighty. Listen to what verse 15 says of Isaiah chapter 57. For thus says the Lord, the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and revive the heart of the contrite. Well, people of God, I got to tell you, Isaiah was undone when he encountered God. Moses was undone. He took off his sandals to stand on holy ground. When you encounter the Lord God, you are undone by the experience to see the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, who dwells in a holy place, separated from all the evil. I tell you, you have many people out there today claiming they can just go in and out of heaven on a whim and on a dime. There's no holy awe, no holy respect for the holy things of God. I'm just telling you, folks, in the last days, that's another fingerprint of witchery. People being beguiled with this stuff, folks. There are real encounters of people being caught up in the spirit and seeing heaven. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these people who come up and say, you're going to have a seminar and teach you how to go up to heaven and sit on the Father's lap and tell him all the jokes you have, and he'll tell you all the jokes and say, you great beautiful lug you, who cares about your sin, you know? So, you know, yeah, people telling stories like this in the church. It's really funny, but it's also tragically sad how many people will follow these kind of people. There's no holy respect for God in some of these so-called encounters and trying to teach people how to, they can just jump inside of heaven and jump right out anytime they want as some special thing. And I tell you, it really grieves me to see that. But I got to tell you, God is unchanging and his ways are always the same. He is with him who is contrite and lowly of spirit, humble, so he can revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite. So honor and respect the Lord when they encounter his presence, folks. That's what he does. He doesn't change. When you encounter the most holy God, you just don't go waltz up and say, "Hi, Pop, let me have a drink there of the holy water." You know, let's smoke them if we got them, God. Tell me a good joke now. You know, you just don't waltz into heaven like that. I tell you, these people, I just shake my head. So, folks, you know, when you encounter the Lord, he humbles you. Why? Well, verse 16 tells you, "For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry. For the spirit of man would grow faint before me, and the breath of life that I made would," like Job says, "would be extinguished." You know, God is very merciful. He understands that we are dust, okay? And he's not going to contend forever with us because we would just grow faint. He's so awesome and powerful, you know, I'm telling you. He will humble you. Don't fall for all the trickery and the witchery of people who say they go up to heaven on a dime and not have their lives transformed. And have no respect for what they have seen. You know, people have legitimate encounters with the Lord and legitimate heaven encounters. I'm not questioning that. I'm not saying everybody who has one is weird or wacky. But you can tell the real from the fake. The real have been humbled by the experience. And they will tell you, folks, you just don't waltz into heaven any time. And that you're on your dime. And say stupid things and continue to live your life the way you're living. I'm just telling you, I'm just saying. Let me get off that rabbit trail right now. Let's look at verse 17. Interesting verse here. Because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry. Again, God is saying, if you are repentant and you look through that window in the ark and you see the one high and holy lifted up, you will be humbled by the experience and he will revive you. Now he's coming back to talk about all the people who are not. And he says in verse 17, because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry and I struck him and I hid my face and I was angry. But he went on backsliding in the way of his own heart. Folks, because of the iniquity of unjust gain, God says he was angry with, and he struck him, and he hid his face, and he was angry. In other words, the Lord strikes at the unrepentant. He shakes them up with calamity sometimes in order to wake them up. It's an act of his love, in order that they can return to him. He gives you enough quail to eat until you get sick of it, so to speak, is what I'm saying. But sadly, what the Lord is referring to here is many who will not do that. They go on backsliding in the way of their own hearts. And that is another fingerprint in the last day. God is raising up a remnant of believers to call forth his last call to enter into the ark. Some will look up on high and see the Lord on high and become members of the body of Christ who has a humble and contrite heart, and others are going to mock and go to war against you, I tell you, and they're going to continue in the backsliding in their heart and their ways, folks. They're going to go backsliding in the ways of their own heart. So that's a fingerprint to look for in the last days of God raising this remnant of believers to call this forth. And sadly, there's going to be a rejection among many. And also, those that reject, there's going to be strong persecution against you, brothers and sisters of God. Folks, it is time to get right with God. He sent Jesus to pay our sin debt in full. Yet, with that slow, methodical, steady step of grace God shows, many will continue on in sin and iniquity, continue to make a mockery out of the goodness of God. The Lord desires truth in inward parts to turn away so that people can turn away from their sins so that they can enter into the ark. And the Lord wants us to help prepare that ark by bringing many, many more people in. Okay? Look at Isaiah 57, verse 18 and 19 says, I have seen his ways, but I will heal him, and I will lead him and restore and comfort him and his mourners, creating the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to those afar and to near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. Again, the Lord, throughout the scriptures, even during the book of Revelations, when people are not repentant, he is always seeking to restore comfort to people, always trying to bring more people to him. He doesn't want everyone to perish. He always is trying to get more people to come in and find out who he is, find comfort and peace. And he wants to bring peace to people, bring peace in their heart through the storm. He wants to bring them into the ark of the Lord, and he offers to heal them. Folks, in the last day, he is calling out to the remnant, the people who I call the Revelations chapter 3, verses 7 through 13 church, the Philadelphian church. It's the band of brothers and sisters whose Holy Spirit power is under control because they are humble before God. They don't act until the Holy Spirit tells them to act. And they're under control of the Lord. They have a band of brother type of love because they were pushed together by persecution and by necessity to band together. And these are the ones that defeat and break the devil's broom, breaks the witch's broom, breaks the spells, breaks the incantations because they know what they're dealing with. The folks of Philadelphia knew what they're dealing with. The entire pantheon of the fallen angels was arrayed over Philadelphia, and they knew what to do. Why? Because they were raised up to battle darkness. They were fighting witchery. They overcame it. How? By knowing how to come into the presence of God in their prayer time, to get their instructions on how to go out for spiritual warfare and how to bring people into the ark of Christ amidst great persecution. They were tight. They were believers. They weren't following the ways of the world. They did not deny the name of Jesus, and they honor and respect the word of God. They teach the word of God, and they're not taken in by the fluff and stuff crowd of the false teachers and the false brethren that come into the church, sent to destroy the church, sent by the enemy and by witchcraft. They understand it. They know what the game is, and they overcome it. They understand that Jesus came to divide the wicked from those he makes just by the shed blood of Jesus on the cross, by the Holy Spirit who sent to heal us and to sanctify us. Just as Isaiah 20:21 says this about this division that's coming. These people know this about the last days. They know their role, and they feel it inside. Maybe you're one of them. The Lord is dividing. He's shaking the church, seeing who is his and who is not. We've covered this already, folks. The Lord has said that judgment comes in the house of God first before it falls on the world. Revelations 2 and 3 is about that judgment coming to the church. And Jesus came to divide the wicked from those he makes just by his shed blood on the cross and by sealing them with the Holy Spirit power to become a band of brother type of Christian, folks. We need a lot of that. In Isaiah 57:20-21 says this, brothers and sisters, but to the wicked they are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet. Its waters are tossed up in mire and dirt. Folks, let me break apart here from the scripture here for a minute. Let me look at this verse and break this down. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up the mire and the dirt. In the days of Noah, when Noah entered in the flood, it began to rain in the flood, and the waters were tossed up and dirted in the mire and drowned everybody. Yeah, God made a covenant that he would not destroy the earth by water again, but he will do so by fire. That's what the Bible teaches. And he's also talking about how the waters and the sea and the dirt and the mire will kick up. It's going to get rough. And there is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. But let's look at what Jesus says on this matter, on how to break the devil's broom. It's really interesting. Let's look at Luke 7:17-35. I'm going to go through this rather quickly, paraphrase a lot on these verses. Jesus said in verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. In other words, this day is going to come, and the Lord is busy raising up a remnant who will build the church, who understand what it means to build a church and bring people in and bring in the sheaves for Christ. The Lord wants to seal those people with the pitch of his blood, built on the frame of the cross. He wants to turn the dumb planks of wood into Holy Ghost vessels so they can find their year of Jubilee, folks, and be governed by the Good Shepherd. Amen. So they can look at the Lord as their source, folks, that they are part of the household of God, and they're united with God in their journey in life on their way to the ark of safety. Look at this verse, verse 28. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating, drinking, buying, and selling, and planting, and building. But on the day Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven, destroyed them all. So it will be on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Again, the earth will be destroyed by fire. Verse 31, on that day he was in the housetop with his goods. Don't come down out of there and try to get him and snatch him away. There are two people sleeping in the house, one taken and another left. This is talking about an event, what I call partial rapture. Maybe I'll talk about that at a future time. I'm not here to talk about the rapture tonight, but I'm just talking about it. What Jesus is saying, how to break the witchery and witchcraft. He sums it up in verse 33. He who seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. Again, a big clue. Whole doctrines are out there, folks, that are teaching you how to preserve your life. Your best days are ahead. How to get your gets with God. how to have the force of faith to attain things for you. You have all kinds of weird, strange doctrines being passed off. People talking about contacting angels to be used angels to help, like the old Roman Catholics did with the saints to cast out other spirits. That is a cult. All you need is the blood of Jesus. You know your authority in Jesus Christ because he has the keys. He gave an open door for you to use the power of you. Philadelphian believers, your people who are a band of brothers, he has an open door. Yeah, he gave you an open door to use his authority because, one, you know your power is under control. You have a power, you have authority over all the witchcraft. But if you start to seek to preserve your life, you're going to lose it. So how do you break the power of witchcraft? Lose your life in Christ in the ark of Jesus. Become totally consumed with the Holy Spirit. Go out and be changed and transformed. Live a sanctified life. God makes it very simple, folks, not very hard. He's not looking for super saints. He's just looking for you. Luke 17:34 says, I tell you that in a night there will be two in a bed, one taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding together, one taken and another left. I'm telling you, they're in the same place. They're in the same thing. This is that partial rapture thing I'm talking about. Again, listen to Isaiah 57, verse 1 and 2. See how this ties together. The righteous man perishes. I'm going to stop, interject here. Remember, I taught you how you'll see the righteous perishing and not anybody really left to fill their shoes like there used to be. And no one lays it to heart. That's a fingerprint of the last days. No one considers it anymore. Because all these new people come up with better insight and new revelation knowledge. And then devout men are taken away while no one understands. That is, unpack that verse. I'll let you think about it. For the righteous man is taken away from calamity and he enters into peace and they rest in their beds who walk in their uprightness, folks. I tell you, that is incredible, isn't it? Isn't it? Folks, I tell you, how to break the devil's broom. I've given you hints here and there in this message. Just listen to what Jesus said in Luke 21, verse 34. This is how to break the witchcraft. This is the secret. Not only using the word of God out of Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 18 and 19, and personalizing it and reminding the devil just who you are in Jesus Christ. Remember this. You have to live a sanctified life. And Luke 21 verse 34 says it like this. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come unexpectedly. In other words, take heed to yourself that you don't act like the world and try to bring the church into the world. It is a sanctified life. We're not perfect, but you know, we're not all holy Joes and walk with our nose in the air. We are battered, bruised people who God is healing up and making better. And we can help others get better by what we've gone through ourselves. And also the Lord wants to begin with you. He made it real simple. Just live a repentant life. Stop this stuff. He will empower you how. If you have this stuff going on in your life, it's very difficult to do spiritual warfare and break the witch's broom. I tell you, it is very hard to. Verse 35 continues. For it will come as a snare on all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. And here is the next key to break the witch's broom. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Well, folks, that is how it's done, folks. We have to break the witch's broom, folks. One, by living a sanctified life. It doesn't mean you're perfect. You're a holy Joe with your nose stuck in the air. You're not an Ephesus type of person. You are a type of person who's realistic. And you'll be honest with people. And you are going to stop carousing with the world. You'll stop being drunk with the world. You will stop being consumed with the cares of this life. And that does not mean about having to have a job working or anything like that. It's talking about being consumed with the cares of this life, which refers to in modern lingo and keeping up with the Joneses overtake you. Don't let it drive you. Don't keep up with the Joneses. I'm modernizing that for you. And that day come upon you unexpectedly. Don't be like the Church of Sardis, dead and impotent. Don't be the Pergamos crowd. Don't be these, the Laodiceans, having the witchery, having their way with you folks. If you listen to my shows, you know what I'm talking about. But the Lord wants you to take heed to yourself so that you're not consumed by this. He wants you in the ark, consumed by the Holy Spirit, so you can find your year of Jubilee. So you, the great Jubilee, when the day comes and you're snatched out of here by the Good Shepherd, who wants to govern your heart, who wants to show you how to find God, so he can get you out of the house of the devil into his house, so he can unite you to him in your journey and life, folks. That's the message of the ark there. That's what all that means. That is how you break the power of witchcraft, folks. And the next way, we're going to talk about how to break the devil's broom a little bit. Again, you have to get your life right with Christ. Live a repentant life. Next, you, like it says in Revelations, I'm going to bring my Bible software up here, and I need to look at it, to the Church of Philadelphia here. This is the band of brothers here, the band of brother church. And he says, I've set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. That means he gave you authority, an open door to use authority, the authority to come into to the Lord, look up through that window and contact and make and to come into the presence of God, where you come into the presence of God in your prayer closet, find out what you need to do so you can go out to war and how to live your life. You have an open prayer closet, okay? He set before you the authority of a believer that he spoke about. I think it's in Luke chapter 12 where he says, I have saw Satan fall like lightning, and I have given you a power on against all the works of the enemy, over scorpions and serpents and over all the works of the enemy. Do not rejoice in this alone, but rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. They're talking about humility. Use the power of God with humility, just like these people did. It says, I know that you have little power. The word little power is not, that means humble power. Your dunamis power that God has on you, on loan from God, that's in you. The authority that he gave you, that open door authority, is under his control. That's what that means. Under his control. I got that from David Gusick's commentary, some other commentaries. There are some others that I can't remember all the Utley and all these other commentaries that are out there. It's power under control. Look up the meaning of the word little there. It doesn't necessarily mean small. It means humble as well. I'm little in the sight of God, meaning I'm humble. Who can approach God is he who has a humble and contrite heart, folks. I tell you, that's what he's saying. Because you have that, my power in you is under the Lord's control. The way it is in the Church of Pergamum, it's all about you having power. Remember, Adam and Eve got in trouble for wanting to be gods. So you have Adam becoming a god over Eve, and Eve now going to become a god over Adam. And all kinds of strife is going to happen in a fallen world. And then you also have people who want to be God over God. God is there a magic genie in the, I'm going to have a Bible here, hardback edition Bible. And it's a New King James. And so what they do is they rub the Bible like a magic lamp and the Jesus genie pops out and says, how can I serve you? I came to give you wealth, health and peace and prosperity, master. that type of power is not under control, and they are abusing it. And if you're of that crowd, you need to get out of Dodge quickly and get a humble and contrite heart and join the band of brother, the remnant that I call them, the remnant church here, whose power is under control. And then you can get your marching orders through your prayer closet, that open door into the Father's, to call out to God and get to know him and him know you. Jesus says, my people know me. They hear my voice. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, I think it is, many will come in that day saying, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these things? We made touchdowns for you. We healed the sick, cast out devils, and we did all these great wonders. And the Lord says, I never knew you. Get out of here. Now, boom. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? To break witchery, you need to go before God and get to know Him and become less of yourself and more consumed with God. So you can find a jubilee that you're governed by the Good Shepherd who will keep your heart in line with the ways of God. So as you walk, you become united with Him so that you are in the house, in the ark of Christ, so you can get to know the Lord God Almighty. I tell you, folks, it all comes to that. That's what He's talking about here in this chapter. That's how to break the witchery in here. And the next thing is, and you have kept my word and have not denied my name. That means the band of brother type of people, the remnant, are people of the word of God. They are people of the word of God. They're going to honor the word of God. They're going to spend time on it. They're going to read it. They're going to preach it. They're going to expound it. And they are going to show you. They're not ashamed of it. They're not going to say, well, the Bible, well, it's all about condemnation, but God has a new way. You ever heard this one? And so we're going to all be about prophecy. We're all going to be about visions and power, 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 and fire, 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 power, 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 fire, fire, fire. The remnant is about being people of the book, not about power. They want to be people of the Word of God, not about power. They want God to be God over them. They want the Lord to be Lord over them, telling them how to call the shots. Brother, the anointing's coming all over me right now. Well, he wants to teach you what to do. He wants to walk alongside of you in the cool of your day, so you stop hiding from Him. He wants a contrite heart that says, Lord, help me. And He comes, and He gives you insight. This is what you do to break the witch's broom and the casting of spells against you and your household. Read Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. Read it, study it, memorize it, then put it in your own words and declare what I have declared against the witchery and the divination and the witchcraft. Read Isaiah 57 and those verses where God talks about, I am going to expose it. Use your authority as a believer and don't be afraid to come into the holy, heavenly, divine counsel of God by your prayer closet through nothing weird or strange. Just getting alone with God, getting your marching orders, going up there, and you'll find out what God wants to do. And you can ask the Lord, Lord, could you send a spirit of ill will against those who practice witchcraft? Not to destroy them, so that they be broken and made of a contrite heart so that they can be born again. The Lord tells us to bless those who curse you. There's no other blessing that's greater than asking them to be saved. That the own spirits that they have conjured, sent back, but they can't touch them or kill them, but they'll have to break them in order for them to get saved. If not, it's on them. You can ask the Lord to send a lying spirit to those people so that they will be exposed for who and what they are. Folks, that's spiritual warfare. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we have to do the principalities so the flesh and blood get lined up. These people who are doing the high order witchcraft, we need to wake up and smell the coffee and know what type of power, what type of authority we have as believers in Christ, because He gave us an open door to this, folks. Do you understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches right now, saying to you right now? Do you understand what the Lord is speaking to you? Another thing is that the band of brother type of church, the remnant, they don't deny the name of Jesus. They don't deny the power of the name of Jesus to govern your life, to keep you on the straight and narrow. Folks, I tell you, they don't deny the name of Jesus. They understand what is going on and how to use the name of Jesus appropriately, not as a magic lamp where you rub your Bible and hope the Jesus genie pops out. No, people of the Word will honor Christ's name. They understand that Jesus' name means His character traits, that are being transformed in you. You remember the lesson I just gave you on the ark. He wants to bring you a dumb plank into the church to build you up as his people. He wants to cover you with his blood, his pitch. Have you inhabit on one of the rooms in the ark of Jesus. So you're learn how to be consumed by the Holy Spirit. So you can help people find their jubilee. And how to be governed by the Holy Spirit. And how to be governed by the Good Shepherd. So that you can get through to the Father. And how to go to in and out to war. And how to, you know, how to reach God, okay? Through the things you learn in this life, folks, I tell you. And you divide it out of the world. And the world out of you. You become into the household of God. And you live a transformed life. As you journey on your way to the ark of Christ. To become united with him forever. Folks, that is an amazing thing. These people do not deny the name of Jesus doing that in other people's life. Another thing that these people do to break the devil's broom, to break the witch's brood, is to stop the witchery that goes on, is that they, like it says in Revelation 3:10, because you kept my word about patient endurance, I'll keep you from the hour of trial that is coming upon the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I'm coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one sees your crown. The one who conquers or overcomes, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I'll write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Folks, I'm telling you, people, how to break the witchcraft. You got to know the Word of God. You got to know who Jesus is. You got to live a sanctified life. Stop opening the doors up for the enemy to come in and ruin your life. Learn to come in before God. Oh, man, I tell you. And just tell them how, you know, how it is with you. Talk to them realistically. I'm telling you, that's what these people were doing. Man, I tell you that patient endurance. They know how to travel in this life and becoming united to Christ through the trials and tribulations they go through, as well as the good times, and they're bringing people in with them. Even if it's just a word of influence or a kind word to actually bring in somebody to the Lord has you for a reason to bring others into the body of Christ. The call is going out, brothers and sisters of God. With that, I'm going to look at my Bible software here and come to Isaiah 57 here. Bring it up again. Isaiah 57 verse 14 says, build up, prepare the way, and remove every obstruction from my people's way. In other words, do you hear the call to build up and bring the planks into the house of God, folks? And as Isaiah says, the righteous man perishes and no one lays it to heart. Devout people are taken away while no one understands. For the righteous man is taken away from calamity. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 3 here. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I'll keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. Do you hear what the Lord is saying, folks? I bet you didn't consider that Isaiah 57 is speaking of a great snatching away. One is a fingerprint that we need to look at. Great men and women of God passing away. Nobody filling their shoes. Or very few of them are. Good Bible teaching is becoming rare as hen teeth. So it's up to the remnant to arise and defeat the witchcraft and break the devil's broom. How? By the things I just told you, folks. You got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. And you got to stop playing games. With that, let's pray. So just follow after me and pray this prayer. Put your hand on your heart, however you want to do this. Raise your hands. Just put your hand over your heart and you can just pray this. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm a mess. I'm failing you so many ways. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. By the precious blood of Jesus, cleanse me from these ways. I need you, Holy Spirit, to fill me with power, to raise me up, and grant me moral power to live true to you this time onward in my life. I ask you, Holy Spirit, make my soul sound whole, excellent. Let my life be in your hands, so I will truly follow you the rest of my days. I'm tired of playing games. Lord, I'm praying to be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before you as wholly, entirely yours. So I ask right now, fill me with Holy Spirit power. Let it fall on me and consume me. Let me find my jubilee. I ask now to be governed by the Good Shepherd on my way back to God as part of His house. Help me live, walking my days and living my days, learning how to be united with you. Fill me with that resurrection power to be totally consumed for you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, brothers and sisters of God, I hope you got something out of this. I know I kind of went fast. I went hard and heavy, but you might have to listen to it. Like I said in the beginning, I was going to share on how to break the witchery. You notice I didn't give you a bunch of steps. I just told you like it is. Get your heart right with God. Live a sanctified life. If you blow it, 1 John 1, verse 9 is yours. He who says he has no sin fools himself, but if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, release you from it. And you'll be cleansed of it, and you'll lose the desire for it. You may have to do it for a while, but it works. You live this sanctified life. It's very easy. Get your life right before God. Get yourself cleaned up. Become part of the remnant, folks. Become part of the remnant. Become part of a body of believers. That band together, the band of brothers, love, because we need to in these last days. I don't know how all that's going to work or look like. I can't really tell you. The Holy Spirit will have to teach you on that. But folks, I didn't give you the step-by-step stuff. I just gave you practical stuff about not being a person of the Word. Don't deny the work of the Lord Jesus as the Good Shepherd in your heart to help govern you. Don't deny the worker there. You have your Holy Ghost power, your anointing, the gifts of the Spirit, under the control of the Holy Spirit, not you. You go before God before you do anything and find out what He wants. And then He grants you the authority as a believer to trample on all the works of the enemy, break the witch's broom, break their spells. You can declare and decree the Word of God correctly, not stupidly, like it's being taught in many quarters today, but the correct way. You can take up Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 18 through 23, and go through the scriptures, either Isaiah 57 or other scriptures that the Lord brings to your heart, and pray that the enemy be exposed, and that they'll break the people giving the spells, that they can get to know God. You have that power, because God gave it to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. That power is to be governed by Him. It's not you. And you have to go in your prayer closet to find out how He wants it used. That's the secret of the Band of Brothers Church, I call it. So, brothers and sisters of God, that's my conclusion there. A little different than the way most people teach. So, folks, this is the Christian Marauder. I'll be signing off.